Hey, what's up, guys? You're now listening to Devo with Uncle Theo. Today is day 117, and we're going to cover 1 Kings chapters 14 and 15. Last time we left off, we talked about how Solomon accumulates all 3, gold, gals, and Gideon. And this is bad what Solomon does because God is looking for a man after his own heart. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And the women turn his heart away from God. And this is important because Israel is to be a theocracy, not a monarchy. We saw the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom tear away from each other. And the northern kingdom try to do it their own way. They have 2 golden calves, 1 in Bethel and 1 in Dan. And you'll never see any stability amongst the northern kingdom. We picked up with chapter 13 and we saw the increase of the word of the Lord, which showed that God ruled by his word. And we're going to see the increase of the official office of prophet as well. So the book of Kings is going to start to contribute theology to the word. It isn't just symbols with meaning. The word is going to operate like a person and take on personification. And all personification is, it's a literary device when a non-human object takes on human characteristics. For instance, if I were to say that the sun in the sky and the moon at night sees all that takes place under its light. That's personification because we know that the sun doesn't have eyes, neither does the moon. But you're going to start to see that given to scripture in the word of God. And that's going to set us up for John when the word takes on flesh and dwells among us. And even though the Trinity is hard to explain and even the incarnation of Christ, the word becoming flesh, books like this help us to understand this. And we pick up in verse 1 in chapter 14. At the time Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick, Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise now and disguise yourself so that they will not know that you are the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Behold, Ahijah the prophet is there, who spoke concerning me, that I will be king over this people. Take 10 loaves with you, some cakes and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the boy." Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. And Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were dim of his age. Now the Lord said to Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to inquire of you concerning her son, for he is sick. You shall say thus to her, for it will be when she arrives that she will pretend to be another woman." When Ahijah heard the sound of her coming in the doorway, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another woman? For I am sent to you with a harsh message. Go to Jeroboam. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you leader over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all of his heart, to do only that which was right in my sight. You have also done more evil than all who were before you, and have gone and made yourself other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I am bringing calamity on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male person, both bond and free in Israel, and will make a clean sweep of the house of Jeroboam, as one sweeps away dung after it is all gone. Anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs will eat, and he who dies in the field, the birds of the heaven will eat, for the Lord has spoken it. Now you will arise and go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child will die, and all Israel will mourn for him." And it happens just as he spoke. Verse 17 and 18, "As soon as she enters the threshold of the house, the child died. All Israel buried him and mourned him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet." And so remember, I said we're going to switch from north to south very quickly, and sometimes mid-verse, and that happens here. We're going from north to south, from verse 20 to 21, and you have to be careful so you'll know which nation you're looking at the time. And so here we go in 21. "Now Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king and reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And that's what makes Jerusalem special. It's because the Lord had chosen to put his name there. That's it. It's all about God. When there's a theocracy, what God says matters. A great nation will come from Abraham because God said it would. The kingly line will flow from Judah, then David, because God said it would. And you're seeing that over and over here. So Rehoboam is not a great guy. God preserved him because he chose out of the land to put his name there. In verse 25, you get this weird insert of a story. It says, now it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house, have Pharaoh of Egypt fight, and he gets to the capital and he just stops. Why? This is weird because it just shows you that God controls stability. He just randomly stops and doesn't fully take over Jerusalem. It's because God can immediately put it in his mind, hey, you can conquer, but just stop here and go home. And it's to teach his people a lesson, but it's also he's preserving and protecting them in the same time. In chapter 15, we move to the next king, Abijah. It says in verse 1, he became king of Judah. So we're still in the southern. Remember that. Judah southern, Israel northern. And he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the sins of his fathers, which he had committed before him. And his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord like God and like his father David. Remember, always look for that. That's going to tell you a lot about this king. But this is what God does. Listen, but for David's sake, the Lord, his God, gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to raise up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. So we move from Abijam to Asa. Now, Asa is a righteous guy. He's good, but he's not good enough. He's not our seed. And he doesn't undo all of the things that Solomon sets up, but he starts off to a great start. So let's look at some of that. This starts in verses 8 to 15. It says, after Abijam died, it says that Asa, his son, became king in his place. So in the 20th year of Jeroboam, the king of Israel, Asa began to reign as king of Judah. He reigned 41 years in Jerusalem, and Asa did what was right in the sight of the Lord, like David, his father. He put away the male cult prostitutes from the land and removed all the idols which his fathers had made. He even removed his mother from being queen mother, because she had made a horrid image as an Ashtaroth. And Asa cut down her horrid image and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly devoted to the Lord all his days. He brought into the house of the Lord the dedicated things of his father and his own dedicated things, silver, gold, and utensils. Now the war was between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. So something we'll have to watch for is the high places. Whether a person leaves them or takes them down, that's going to say a lot about them as king and how fully they trust the Lord. Look at 18. It says, then Asa took all of the silver and the gold, which were left in the treasury of the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants. So God protects Asa. But Asa starts taking treasure out of the Lord's house and he forgets about the Lord. And basically what happens in Judges, people start doing what is right in their own eyes. And Asa basically says, I'm going to do it my own way. He starts giving money to Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram or Syria, for him to break his treaty with Israel and to form one with them, with Judah. And remember what we talked about. Is to create a sandwich and to squeeze the Israelites. But he becomes diseased of his feet and he dies. And there's so many implications from this. When you think you can provide security from yourself, when you think you're the only person that can provide stability for yourself, you come quickly to find out that stability only comes from God. Security only comes from God. And so in the northern kingdom, you have Nadab dies, and another king in dynasty takes his place, we see that the only one, so there's a king by the name of Jehoshaphat that's going to succeed Asa. And it says this in verse 23, it says, he was diseased of his feet. And we'll talk about that more later. And Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place. Now, Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel. You see how quick we just shifted from the southern to the northern? You got to be careful with that because it'll throw you off. And the best way to read this is just with a list of the kings so you can look for the name. And when that shift happens, you can know whether you're north or south. Or the only other way is to memorize all these names. And I don't know if you have time for that. I would encourage you to if you could. But if you don't, just read this with a list of the kings. And I'll put that in the show notes. So Nadab became king over Israel. In the second year of Asa, the king of Judah, he reigned over Israel 2 years. And you're going to see this all the time with the northern kings. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin, which he made Israel sin. Then Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha struck him down at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, while Nadab and all of Israel were laying siege to Gibbethon. So Baasha killed him on the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. He did not leave to Jeroboam any person alive until he had destroyed them according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. And you just see the instability of these kings, which tells us that stability only comes from the Lord. And did you catch that in verse 29? That the person died according to the word of the Lord. You're going to see that intensity pick up like I told you. And that's personification. The word of the Lord is doing this. And that should make you question, how is the word doing this? How is the word doing stuff and coming to people and saying stuff? It's setting you up for Christ. That heartbeat should be intensifying. Those birth pains should be increasing. Christ is getting close to coming on the scene. And now the pre-incarnate Christ we've seen in Theophanies and Christophanies, we're seeing in the word of the Lord. And so Baasha replaces Nadab. And all you need to know about him is he dies. He dies a gruesome death. So our list so far, remember, we start with Solomon. The house divides and tears. In the southern kingdom in Judah so far, we have Rehoboam, Abijam, and Jehoshaphat. And in the northern kingdom, we have Jeroboam, Nadab, and Baasha. And so you're doing good. You're learning the kings. I hope I'm making this clear for you and you're understanding how we got to the kings, how we walk into them, because these are different eras that you're going to have to understand. You're going to have to understand the era of Genesis. You're going to have to understand the era of Exodus with the birth of the nation and the creation of the nation. And you're going to have to understand Exodus, them going into slavery and becoming a great nation and going out. You're going to have to understand the nations wandering in the wilderness and the conquest. And so you go from the patriarchs to leaders. Then you're going to have to understand judges. And now we're moving into kingship. And we'll have to understand all of the elements of the kings. And once you understand the prophets in captivity and exile, you, my friend, have mastered survey of the Old Testament. And all you have to do now every year is go deeper and deeper. And the purpose of these devos is to give you guardrails so you'll never go into heresy. And you can go deeper and deeper in the Old Testament and you can have these guardrails. You won't fall over into one ditch or the other. So I'm proud of you for sticking with me. And I appreciate all of your reviews. I see them all. I appreciate the thousands of downloads. It's so encouraging because we're 117 days in. We're a third of the way done. And it gets exhausting sometimes. I have to be honest with you. But I'm staying faithful because I know you're rocking with me and I know you're learning. And I got some people on my team that used to crash and burn in Exodus and Leviticus. And they're all the way in 1 Kings with me. I'm proud of you. Keep going and let's finish strong. You guys take care.